Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Pei Hamun Bet. The Gemara is addressing the issue that was raised by Rav Sheshet, which is that Kelav Shelokeach Reshut Mocher Kana Lokeach Lo Kana. The ability of Kelim, of the Lokeach, to function as a Reshut, to make a Kinyan on behalf of the Lokeach, when they're in place in the Reshut HaMocher. The question is, are the Kelim Nitzbatel Lekabei the Reshut or not? I mean, do they have independent status or the Nitzbatel? So the Gemara tried to bring a proof from the Mishnah in Gittin. Then the Gemara tried to use our Tosefta, which the Gemara has been dissecting throughout. And now the Gemara is on to the next tried proof, the third proof, to see if they can find a solution here. So Amar Rav Tashma, Mashach Amar Ravu Po'alav, V'chnisam L'toch Bito. He took, he did a Meshicha, he pulled in these Chamarav U'Po'alav, these workers and these Chamorim into his possession. Ben Pasak, Ad Shelo Madad, Ben Madad Ad Shelo Pasak, Shnehem Yecholim Lachzor Ben. In this case, when he takes in the workers or the Po'alim, and Po'alim or the Chamorim, loaded with whatever merchandise he's trying to acquire, and he pulls them into his possession. Now here, whether they have been Pasak Ad Shelo Madad, whether they've already set the price for the deal, or whether they've measured and they haven't set the price, both parties can back out of the transaction, which is indicative of the fact that there is no kinyan here. There is no kinyan over here because meshicha, the kinyan meshicha doesn't function, because the kinyan meshicha is done on top of something else. Being moshech the chamorim or moshech the poalim, when there's something on their back, right, is not a kinyan meshicha. As the Rashbam points out, meshichat adam to'un perot, lo mahan yaliknota to perot, ad shimshocha perot atzman. If you want to do a kinyan meshicha, you have to take the physical object that you're trying to be koneh and be moshechet. Being moshech something on the back of another party is not considered a good meshicha, even though you were poseg damim, even though you've set the price already. Setting the price should have been enough to allow for a kinyan meshicha, but the Rashbam says here we have a failure, right? We have a failure here with regards to the kinyan meshicha. And obviously, when it comes to madad velo pasak, case where there's a medida without any psikat damim, without a price being set, then of course both parties can go back on it because then there's no smichut adat. Nobody thinks that the sale is complete in that instance. Now,
Drivers.
Okay.
Both instances
are human beings.
People.
Thank you. All right. So now, next day, Pirkan, if he unloads them, Pirkan is that he unloaded them prior to being pulled into the house, and then he took them into his place. Now, Pasak, Achalamadad, if they already were posik, meaning that they set the price, even though they didn't measure the amount, then you can't back out of it. Because number one, you have psikat damin, which is you set the price. So there's, there's some sort of finality in that. And the second thing is he's moshech. After he's poreik them, he pulls them into his possession. Now, the assumption is that they're in the utensils, the kelim of the mocher. The mocher has a peirot or has whatever object inside of his sakim, inside of his sacks or his kelim. And now you've unloaded the donkeys or unloaded the donkey drivers or unloaded the workers. And now you're pulling them into your property. So we have the kelim of the mocher coming into your property. So then we said, nobody can back out of that transaction, which is indicative of the fact that the kelim of the mocher are irrelevant here. Kelim of the mocher are irrelevant because you've now pulled them into your property. By pulling them into your property. Now, madad, that shelo pasak, shneihem yecholim lachzor b'hem. Again, the case where he did the measurement already, but they haven't set the price, then both parties can back out because, we'll see in a second in the Gemara, that without price, right, there is no smichut adat. Now the Gemara says, umi dekelav de mocher b'shut lokeach lo kana. Right here, the underlying assumption right here is that the kelim of the mocher make no difference when they enter the property of the lokeach. Here when the lokeach, when they've been unloaded prior to being pulled into the possession of the lokeach, and then he pulls, let's say he has a sack full of peirot, and the sack belongs to the mocher, and he pulls it into his property, the Mishnah says, nobody can be chozer, which means he's koneh. It means that the reshut lokeach is mevatel, the kli of the mocher. So when it says, well, if the kelev and the mocher are nitbatel in the possession of the lokeach, then kelev the lokeach, nam bishut mocher lokana. Then it's clear, too, that the kelev of the lokeach would be irrelevant in the possession of the mocher. I mean, the basic premise or principle that's been established by this, right, by this brisa is that once you have a kli in a reshut, the reshut dictates. The kli is irrelevant. There is no kli here. So it'll be true in both directions. Here, in our case, for the Braisa, it's the mocher's kli, which is making no difference. You take it into lokach's possession. So the other way around, which is the question of sheshet, when it's lokach's kli and the mocher's property, it should make no difference because it's the mocher's property. And that's what will dictate. So I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. No, how do you have to say that? B'shoshofchan. It's a case where he poured them out. Meaning that he unloaded them from, not only did he unload them, but he poured them out of the kelim. So Ikpid Rava, Rava was makpid, and he says, what type of answer is that? Rava is the one who's bringing this as a proof. He says, what type of answer is that? Midei shofchan katani? Well, it doesn't say in the Braisa shofchan, it says pirkan. Pirkan means to unload and not to dump out. Right? There's a difference in the verbs, and the verb is not used over here, so you can't answer that way. So Ala Amar Mar Baravashi Mimit Achle de Tume. So he says that no, the case here is depends. You know, different fruits or vegetables are carried in different manners. So certain fruits, you're right, are brought in sacks, brought in the kelim of the mocher. But there are other vegetables or fruits that are strung together, right? Like, for instance, right, here's garlic. Right, so you have garlic that is strung together. And so since it's strung together, once he's unloaded it, there are no kelim of the mocher anymore. If there are no kelim of the mocher anymore, we can't prove anything. Because now you're taking garlic directly into the possession of the lokeach, into his property. And that's why he's kuned. We're not discussing an issue of kelim mocher in the property of the lokeach. That's not the case. That's not the issue here. That's not the issue. We can't prove anything to the reverse, which is the kelim of lokeach and the reshut of the mocher. So the Gemara says, no conclusion from this brisa. So Amalei huna brei demar zutri al ravina michte pirkan ktani. You're right. It says that he unloaded them. Mali pasak, mali lo pasak. Why does the price make any difference over here? I mean, that once he's unloaded them and he drags them into the possession of the lokeach, why is price an issue at all? This is what we've been saying all along. This is the answer to the Gemara, but we've already introduced this. It's Amalei, Pasak, Samchadate. There's nothing to talk about. When you posek the price, then he's relying on the sale to be final because you know what you're paying for them. On the other hand, Lo Pasak, Lo Samchadate. If you haven't set the price, nobody's Samechdat because there could be still a difference between the buyer and seller's expectations over here. If the buyer and seller don't come to agreement, this transaction won't go through. Therefore, there's no smichut adat, there's no smichut adat, there's no kinyan. Neither party is ready to end over here. When you have a price, then even though there's some interim steps that are left, there's some things like medida, those are only gilui milsa. That's simply to determine how much or what the amount is exactly, but not pricing. Pricing is the key element that brings agreement between two parties.
In the case of the present, they came in without pricing.
By a gift?
By a matana.
Yeah, but the pricing is not a pivotal point in the matana. Right, the price is irrelevant in a matana. Smichut adat is just that
I give it. Irrelevant in Kenyan. That was the question. Why is price relevant in Kenyan? Same
right.
Because then there's smichut adat.
Well, Kenyan is a gemirat adat of some sort. That's the whole idea. Kenyan functions as a gemirat adat to finalize some sort of transaction. Now, in a matana, where gemirat adat is simply the giver and then the taker taking it, and they both want, the giver wants to give it and the taker wants to take it, that's all you need. The kinyan creates gemirat adat. In transactions, the gemirat adat, or to have gemirat adat, you need pricing. Nobody will be willing. You walk into a store, you pick some merchandise up, doesn't have a price tag on it. You go to the desk, you mean you assume that you already bought it and you have to pay for it now? No. You're going, until the price is determined, you accept that, then there's no gemirat adat. You can't have gemirat adat without price. All right. So I'm really Ravina the Ravashi. Tashma. Another try at this. The Rav and Shmuel, the Amrei Tavayu, this we quoted earlier, Rav and Shmuel, Kelim shel adam koneh lo b'chol makom. Right, that the Kelim of a person work for him in all locations. Right, Chutz, right, we don't have this here, but the original statement that we had back on Pehei was Chutz Mishut Rabim. But the Gemara wants to focus on that first part of the statement, which is, Kelim shel adam koneh lo b'chol makom. B'chol makom is latu yirmai. What does it mean b'chol makom? It's latu yirmai. Lav latu yir reshut mocher. Isn't that come to teach you that even in the reshut mocher, that the Kelim of the location would work, because the only exception that they mention is Rishut HaRabim. So it seems like it should work. So when it says Hotam Darmalei Zil Kneh, over there it's different, because there it's the Mocher says to him, take possession of it, meaning that even though it's in his property and it's in the Kelim Lokeach, we don't know what would work there. But when the Mocher specifically says to Lokeach, take possession of it, even though it's in my property with your kelim. This is the way the Rashbam phrases it: command the Moshele Makom Hanachat Kelav. It's as if he's lending him the property on which the kelim are sitting. It's as if he's saying to Lokeach, the property on which your Kelim are sitting is yours now, and you can be Koneh the whole thing. So again, we don't have a proof, because we don't, there it's functioning because of a different issue is that he said Zilkneh. Once he said Zilkneh, then this is in the normal case of Kelim Shalokeach in the property of the Mocher. The Gemara was inconclusive, which is the answer, inconclusive when it comes to Kelim Shalokeach Birshut Mocher. The Gemara tried, we saw four different proofs, and the Gemara failed in each one of these, or at least gave a way to explain each one of them away, and therefore the Gemara is inconclusive when it comes to the Kelim of Lokeach Bishut Mocher. That's how the Gemara ends. Now the Gemara moves on to a new topic.
The Gemara is inconclusive that if the Mocher, so this is, Zilkneh,
for right.
Zilkneh,
Zilkneh was only used, or we talked about it earlier, with property, with real property. When he said Zilkneh, was when he went to take possession of Karka. We didn't say Zilkneh necessarily by Metaltalin. Right, that was the difference. Zilkneh works.
Right.
I don't know. Soul may not be enough, but all right. Zilkneh means he has to functionally be giving him part of the property. So it's not about soul. It's about he has to tell him to take possession, which is an important factor here. All right. Tanatam. So here's a Mishnah that we've seen a couple of times from Kiddushin. Nechasim sheyesh lem achrayut, real property. Nekneim bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. Sheein lem achrayut. Right. Metaltalim. Ain nickname Ella Mishicha. Right, they're only quoted by Mishicha. Now this Mishnah is being brought here. The Gemara is now going to move on to a new topic. It says Surah Matnula Hashmaita Mishmeid Rav Chista. Surah they said over Rav Chista was there. Pumbatita Matnula Mishmeid Rav Kana Vamila Mishmeid Rava. This next statement, which is very important, Loshanu El Dvarim Shein Darkam Lagbia. This is something that we spoke about earlier. That it only works. Kinyan Mishicha only functions in a place where Kinyan Agba does not work. Aval dvarim shedarkam lagbia bagba in b'mishichalo. So here's a clear statement by the Gemara. When you have a better kinyan, hagba is clearly the best kinyan that you can do. Right? Best demonstration of ownership is to pick it up and to walk off with it. That is hagba. Hagba is the best. If you can use hagba, you are not permitted to use a lower form of kinyan or a lesser form of kinyan, which would be mishicha. The opposite may not be true, and that the Rashbam points out that if you can do it, if you're doing a kinyan mishicha, because agba is not normally done in this case, nevertheless, if you do agba, it will still function in there. So meaning that you can upgrade the kinyan, you cannot downgrade the kinyan. So that's what it says over here, that when you have a kinyan mishicha, it must mean that agba is not the normal kinyan in this case, or it's not the functional kinyan in this case. So yoti v'bayi v'kamar lai shvaita. Rabbi was saying over this, Shemaita, Eid Fei Rav Adar Bar Matal Rabbi. That's the question. Agunev Kis B'Shabbat. Right, this is a case in Kol B'Kamel. A person who steals a wallet or money pocket on Shabbos, Chayav. Over there is Chayav. K'shvar Nitchayev B'Gneva Kodem Sheva L'Idei Yisur Shabbat. Over there, there's the Gemara is discussing the problem of Kimlei D'Rabbi Minei, which means that if a person stole something and is also Chayav for doing Hotzah on Shabbos, then the Hotzah and Shabbos will be Mechayev and Miso, and therefore will be Patur from the compensation for the Gneva. But, and this is what the case is here, if he's able to steal before he's Chayev and Shabbos, then the Chiyuv for stealing, right, took place prior, or became obligated in the repayment prior to becoming Chayev and Shabbat. If that's the case, then there's no Kim Leid Rabbi Mene. And that's what happened here. Goneva Tekis, as soon as he picks up the money wallet, as soon as he picks it up, he's Chayev with regards to Gneva. Shabbos, you're not chayav until he walks it out of the property to the Rishut HaRabim. So that's exactly the case. So Ganim Kis B'Shar Chayav, there he has to repay the Gzeilach, Shvar Nitchayev B'Gneva Kodem Shevali De Yisur Shabbat. The Hagbah created the Yisur Gneva, or the violation of Gneva that makes him chayav, the Yisur Shabbos when he walked out of the property. But now, Hayam Migarer V'Yotze, if he's pulling it along the ground, he's dragging it out, Migarer V'Yotze, Patur, Shere Isur Shabbat Gneva Baim Keachad. That happens simultaneously. As he's pulling it out of the property, means it, number one, goes from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim in that movement. And number two, right, the change, Shine Rishut, is also a Kinyan, Legabe Gneva. So that Shine Rishut generates both Chiyuvim, the Chiyuv Gneva, as well as the Chiyuv Shabbat. And because they happen simultaneously, then you have Kimlei Devarabim Mine. Therefore, the Chiyuv of Shabbat will wipe out, right, or at least suspend the payment of Gzeila. Whether he has to be Yotzei B'Dei Shemaim to pay it back, right, is a subject of the Achronim. Whether it simply is Patur, Aval, it's a good thing to pay it back, or Patur means it's Yehud Shul Gamrei, there is no repayment over here. So now Gemara says, or this is really the question of Ravada Bramat, no, Hari Kis Debar Hagbahu. We already said in the ratio of the Mishnah that the kis, the money, while it is a something that you normally pick up, and nevertheless, and nevertheless, he still says that the kinyan works, right? And right, that you can use the kinyan meshicha because you're megarer. You're dragging it out of the property. If you're dragging it out of the property, you're using meshicha. Now here we see meshicha functions even in the face of, even in the face of something that normally has a kinyan hagba. That goes against this statement.
Where do we see that the meshicha is working? I mean, if he's dragging it in the person's house, it hasn't worked yet. He hasn't been
gonev
yet.
No, as soon as he crosses the property line, he's both gonev and over the Isur Shabbos.
Into Rosh
Yeah.
So I thought you said Mishnah was
working. Very good. So that the Gemara in Gittin asks your question. So now that you asked for it, well, I'll deal with it a little bit. The Rashi and Tosfos argue about, right? There are two answers that are given in the Gemara. In the Gemara asks exactly your question, that if, I mean, Ksubas, Gemara and Ksubas asks your question, which is that Kinyan Mishicha does not function in Mishut Rabim. So how do you have a Kinyan Mishicha over here? So Gemara gives one of two answers. One answer is, right, that it's Tidei Mishut Rabim. And we're talking about he dragged it into Tidei Mishut Rabim, and we already saw that, but Tidei Mishut Rabim, right, that a Simta or something like that, that a Kinyan Mishicha will work. And then according to Rabbi Elezer, in Shabbos, you'll also be Chayav from Mimotzi, from a Rishut Yachid to Tzidei Rishut Rabim. So you create a place that is Rishut Rabim for Shabbos, but not Rishut Rabim for Kinyanim. That's one possibility. That, Tosu says, is the only question over here. Tosu says, according to that Shita, that's the question over here. There's another Shita, the Gemara says, where he put his hand down on the ground lower than 3 tefachim. Right? He put his, less than 3 tefachim, he puts his hand. Your hand has a din of Arba Amot al Arba Amot. Is that Rishut B'fnei Atzma? So therefore, even though you're in Rishut Arabim, your hand is a separate, right, Rishut to allow for a Kinyan Mishicha. But you're still, your hand is not a Rishut Yachid. Your hand is still a Rishut Arabim when it's out of Rishut Arabim because you're within 3 tefachim of the Rishut Arabim. So therefore, what happens is he takes it out of the Rishut Yachid into his hand in the Rishut Arabim. So the Gabe Kinyanim, you have a Rishut of 4x4 and that makes a Kinyan for you for Gneva. The Gabe Shabbos, your hand's within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's nitbatel to the Rishut Rabim, and therefore, it's like it's in the Rishut Rabim. It's as if you took it out to the Rishut Rabim. Now, the question here, Tosfos says, why does that Kinyan work over here? The Kinyan Yad works here Mishum Chatzer. It works, you have a Chatzer. It's as if you have a Chatzer over there and you have a Kinyan of Chatzer. So Tosfos says that Kinyan Mashiach is not even relevant over here. It's all about Kinyan Chatzer, and you can't ask the question in that case. The Rashbam disagrees and says that's not what's functioning. This is actually a Kinyan Mishicha. It's a, right, a Mishicha l'toch yado. He pulled it into his yado, and his yado for a Kinyanim of Gneva is considered Rishut, right? Enough of Rishut to make a Kinyan. But the Gabe Shabbos is still classified as Rishut Rabim. So the Rashbam says that the question here in the Gemara can be according to either solution. Whether it's the solution of the hand close to Rishut Rabim or Tzidei Rishut Rabim, the question stands because you can have a Kinyan Mishicha. Tosfos says the question is only according to the one who says he took it into Tzidei Rishut Rabim because there you have Mishicha. Because in your hand, it's a Kinyan Chatzah. That's not what we're discussing over here. We're discussing, right, only a Kinyan Hagba and Kinyan Mishicha, and that Mishicha is not relevant in that case.
In general, that any Kinyan Mishicha does not function in Rishut Rabim.
Right.
So according to the Shita, you can make it function in Rishut Rabim. Forget about
according to the Rashbam.
Forget about the Dinner Shabbos over here.
According to the Rashbam.
Right, we're
just
saying it's
Kinyan Chatzah. Right, it's not Mishicha, right? According to the Rashbam, right, if he does the Mashiach, if he moves it into his hand, that's as equivalent to moving from Shut Rabim to a Simta. Just like you move, if you do Mashiach from Shut Rabim to a Simta, it's Koneh. If you do Mashiach from your Shut Rabim into your hand, it will be Koneh in Rishut Rabim. Because you moved it into a new Rishut. That's the whole idea, right? That the idea is that if you move that Rishut Rabim, it's no longer Mekinyan Mashiach in Rishut Rabim. That's basically what the answer is. Alright. Zamalei, Tzimimitna, he says, I'm talking about a case where it's a, well, it sounds like here, it's a small wallet. So he says, Ananami mitna kamina. He says, Rabbi Ramana says, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a small wallet, some sort of small item, and that's exactly why Hagba works over here. So he says, no, mide deboy mitna. I'm talking about a large load that could have used a mitna, that could have used some sort of a holder or pocket to hold it together. I mean that it was at a point there was in a situation where the object being raised over here was not able to be moved, bikinyan agba, either because it's unwieldy, that's one possibility, or because it's something that could have used some sort of encasement, right? And without any casement, there's too much, there are too many, for instance, too many coins here, or too many items to do it in a kinyan akbah. So it has to be done in kinyan mashikha in order to take the whole item together. So the answer in the end is that the kinyan akbah is not functioning over here. What do you have? What's the?
Mishnah translates
as a strap. A strap. Okay, fine. A mitna, thank you. As a strap, but some sort of functional holder that makes it possible to take it out in one shot. Without this type of encasement, right, that won't allow you to take it in one shot. So that's why you need, that the answer is that Akbar would not function over here. Why doesn't function? Because Akbar wouldn't work, wouldn't be able to be done in a case of Akbar. Tashma. So Gemara is going to be a new proof. Now the Gemara is going to go again, like a series of proofs, to see that does Mashicha really, once you have Kinyan Akbar, is that the only thing that works? Tashma. B'shut mocher, this is our Tosefta again that we're bringing down. B'shut mocher lo kana, ad shig be'ena, o ad shig tzi'ena mirshuto. In the Rishut mocher, the only way to make a functional kinyan is to do a kinyan akbah, to lift it up, o ad shig tzi'ena mirshuto, or pull it out of his property. So now, Alma, mide de bar akbah, ibai bakbah, kanile, ibai mashiach kanile. The Tosefta there offers you two alternatives. One is to do kinyan akbah, they want us to pull it out of the property. So you see that even though kinyan akbah would have worked, then pulling it out of the property is also an option for you. So Amar Rav Nachman, obviously the answer to the Gemara is Amar Nachman Yitzach, let's study him ketani. It's written let's study him, meaning that it's two. It means that if you could do a kinyan akbah works. If you could do a kinyan mishicha, then mishicha works, meaning that it's not that they are talking about the same item, they're talking about different situations. In different situations, these two kinyanim will work. When you need a kinyan akbah will work. When you need a kinyan mishicha will work. When you pull it out of his property. Not that we're talking about the same item. So Mar says, "Midi debar akbah." Something that uses akbah will be done with akbah. Midi debar mishicha be mishicha. Something that's done as a mishicha, kinyan mishicha will work. Now again, that the Rashbam points out over here that you could have answered that it was a kinyan, that it was talking about something that was mishicha, an item that normally is done mishicha. Why? If it's an item that's normally done mishicha, we said before, that you can always upgrade the kinyan. So even though this is normally done mishicha, akbah will still work on mishicha. So that you could have answered that the case in the Tosefta is a case where it was an item that needed mishicha. So since it needed mishicha, then akbah also works, and we just saw that before, by the case of Gonev Kizbi Shabbos. Because over there, the Gemara says in the end that it's something that needs, right, some sort of mishicha, because it can't be lifted in one shot. Yet in the ratio, when he's magbia it, it works. I mean that akbah works. Akbah can function in the face of a case or in a case where it's mashicha, it's an upgrade. What you can't do is downgrade from akbah to mashicha, and that's the saying. The Gemara, the other answer, and the other answer, that's what the Rashba asks also in the Tosos, is something that's not darkol akbiah. Again, either one of those says that since the kinyan mashicha functions over here, kinyan akbah will also work. That's not the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says that stanim, that the Gemara says that it's two different items, one items where items that are for akbah works, items that are for mashicha, mashicha works. Right now, tashma, another try. Which is now from our Mishnah. The other try is saying this: Akbah Tashma, Mocher Peiro de Chaveiro. Prison sells roots to his van. Mashach v'lo Madad. Did it came Mashicha? He didn't measure it. Koni va Peiro de Bnei Akbah Ninu. Peiro. That's pretty straightforward. Peiro are things that you are Magbia. So why over here are you allowing a Kenya Mashicha to work? It's a Kenya Akbah need to be done. And nevertheless, it says, even though Kagba is a normal Kenyan by Peirot, it says that a Kenyan Mashicha works. It says, Achav Maiskina and Bishlife Ravrave. It says that we're talking about here with a very, long fruits or large contents here where it's impossible to do a Kenyan Hagba. So large wraps or large casements, right? Bundles of fruits. So therefore, you need to do a Kenyan Mashicha. So it says, Iachim Asefa. What are you going to do with the second half of our Mishnah? Mishnah says, "Lokeach pishtan mechaviro." Person who buys pishtan from his friend, lo kana ad shitaltenu mekom zeh lemakom acher. You can't be konet until you carry it from one place to the other. So when it says, "Ato pishtan mishlifei rabbe milo avde." Right, so why not? If pishtan is also in this case, a case of shlifei rabbe, case where you bundle them in large bundles, right, and there are large, some sort of encasements, and therefore you require a kinyan mashicha. Why can you only be koneh pishtan via kinyan akbah? The Mishnah seems to indicate that the resha, you could use mashicha. When it comes to pishtan, you must use akbah. But why are you demanding akbah in a case where it's not the normal way to make a kinyan? And a normal way to make a kinyan on something that is very large, or something that's very long or unwieldy, is to do a kinyan mashicha. So by peirot, you said do mashach. But by pishtan, all of a sudden you're saying do a kinyan akbah. Why is that the case? So that doesn't make sense. He says, I can explain the Mishnah when you're talking about shifle zutre. I can explain when you're talking about small fruits or small bundles. then, according to my reasoning, Rav Matna says, listen, I say that Mashiach and Agbar are interchangeable. You can use either one. That since this is a large item, that Pishtan itself is bigger than fruits, meaning that fruits are small items, right? Small. And you're talking about Pishtan, Pishtan is very long. So in that case, it might be that Mashiach might not work by Pishtan. Mashiach might not work by Pishtan, not because, right, Kinyan Mashiach doesn't work in the face of Agbah, but Mashiach doesn't work with very long items because, what we said before, and this is that when you're Moshech something, you have to be Moshech the full distance of the item. So we said that there's a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says when you're Moshech the Sfina, right, then all you have to do is move it a purta, a small amount. But Shmuel says you have to be Moshech the full length of the Sfina. But it might be that that only works. Kinyan Mashiach only works, even according to Rav, when you're in the water. Because the Kinya and Purta, when you drag it a little bit, then dragging the boat a little bit in the water, it's floating. So it's as if you moved the whole item. But the Rashbam suggests over here that maybe, that even when you drag the whole item, it won't be enough because it's on the karka. And therefore, as opposed to water, where you're floating in the water, and therefore when you're doing Mashiach, it's as if you've lifted it or moved it somehow, then by karka, if you're dragging it on the karka, that may not be a Kinyan Mashiach. For Pishtan. By Behema, he lifts his legs up. That's what the Kinyan Mashiach is, because he leaves, he detaches from the ground at some point. The Pishtan, if you're dragging it, it's still on the ground the whole way, it may not be enough. At the Mishach Kulo, or enough. So that's what the Rashi says. If you're talking about Zutre, if you're talking about a case where it's small fruits, I can explain to you the difference between the Reish and the Seifa. The Reish is small fruits, I pick it up, and I could do right, the small fruits, okay, even though I do a Kinyan, normally do a Kinyan Agbah, nevertheless, Mashiach works, even the face of Agbah. So that's fine. But in the case of the Pishtan, why am I demanding Hagbah and not allowing you to do a Kinyan Mashiach? It's because it's very long. Since it's very long, Mashiach is not the functional Kinyan over here. And most people have to do Hagbah to move the Pishtan. You don't want to drag it on the ground. But now that you're explaining that everything is in unwieldy packages, then why does Mashiach work in the Reisha and Mashiach not work in the Seifa? Why doesn't it work in the Seifa? So Gemara's answer is, Shani Pishtan Dimishtamit. Pishtan is a problem in either, there's one of two answers. The Rashbam formulates it like this, that it's slippery. Since it's slippery, you can't put it into big bundles. It will slip apart. They will not hold together in large bundles. So therefore, by definition, you can't have Shlutadei Ravrevei by Pishtan. If you don't have Shlutadei Ravrevei, Mashiach is not the functional Kinyan, Agbah is the functional Kinyan. That's the way the Rashbam explains it. The Ravenu Chananel does some slight deviation of that, or slight variation on that, is that since it's slippery, you will never do a Kinyan Mashiach, because if you're Moshech it, they will slip out of the packaging. Meaning that Mashiach is not a functional Kinyan, not because nobody ever does it that way, nobody ever puts them in large bundles, but because if they are in a large bundle, if you pull them, they'll slip out and it won't work. So that's the, either way, the answer is that the reason you need Agbah by Pishtan is because that's something unique to Pishtan. The Pishtan has some unique characteristic that demands Agbah over here. But in Ochanami, the Mishnah was talking about a case of large, unwieldy bundles, and that's why you can do Kinyan Mashiach, because Kinyan Agbah was not relevant in this case. Tashma, Behema Gasa Niknei Misira. Large animals, you do a Kinyan Misira on this. This is where we had before the Machlokas Vin Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi versus the Rashbam in the Ri. But here, you have Behema Gasa Niknei Misira. But Taka, the smaller animals are about Bai. If it looks about, Devir Bimir Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. Chamim, Behema Taka Bimshicha. Then Elmim say that a Behema Taka has to be done Bimshicha. Now, Behema Taka, the Barak Bahi. It's clear that a behemoth daka can be lifted because that's the kinyan that was demanded by the Tanakama over here. The Tanakama over here, Rabbi Shimon say, what? Do a kinyan agbah. So if you could do a kinyan agbah, and yet the chamim are saying that the kinyan is b'mishicha. So you're saying even the face of agbah, we're allowing you to do a kinyan mishicha. Where it says, no, shani behemoth disarcho. Behemoth is different. Why is a behemoth different? Because of sarcho. Sarcho we've seen before. Actually, we saw this in the Gemara in I think in Bava Metzibah Vakama about like something, an animal on the wall, that when you're dragging it up, that it's no etz atzipor nav, it places its nails in there. Sircha is something where it holds its ground, right? It puts its nails into the ground. So over here, sircha is that it holds the ground tight, according to the Rashbam, that it won't release itself. A kinyan agbah is not easy because the animal will hold its weight to press itself down into the ground and won't let you pick it up. That's one possibility. Or the Rabbeinu Chananel says it's soretet, it drags itself, meaning that it won't let you pull itself away. It'll hold itself, drag itself with the nails along the ground. But either way, that already says that hagbah is not the default. Hagbah will work. But Agah is not the default by animals because it's not easy to do Agbah on animals. Not because of their weight, but because of their, right, what we call their objecting, or, right, their, right, their obstinance in allowing you to pick them up. Now, the Gemara's conclusion, I guess before, the Gemara's conclusion is that Kinyan Agbah works and only works when you have the opportunity to do a Kinyan Agbah. So Kinyan Agbah, you can't use an alternative, because Kinyan Agbah is unique. It's a unique type of Kinyan. It's the best Kinyan. You can't downgrade the Kinyan. Well, you have other Kinyanim, you can upgrade. The Gemara tried in numerous cases to show that's not the case. In each case, we answered up that you can't prove here against our statement that Agbah is the only functional, if it's the Kinyan, then it's the only functional Kinyan. And we tried and we said, no, each of those cases is a unique case where we allowed Kinyan Meshicha. Now, Rav and Shmuel talk about Kinyan here, is what happens if I say, Kor b'shloshim, ani mochelecha. A kor is how many sa'ah? A kor is 30 sa'ah. So he says, I'm selling you a full kor for 30, right? This seller, right? It's an end where he says, or the other alternative is he sells him 30, a kor, but he says, I'm selling you at a rate of one sa'ah per seller, to 30 seller. So the first Kinyan, the first way he expresses it, he says, I'm selling you a kor for 30. Now, the second way he expresses it is that I'm selling you 30, but at a rate of one sa'ah to a sa'ah. So then, in the case of where he enumerates the price per unit, then he's rishon kana. Over there, it's indicative that as soon as it goes into the kema, as you measure out each sa'ah, there's a kinyan. Why? Because he gave you a price, and his price basically said, or is indicative of the fact that he'll sell you any amount. At that price, he'll continue to measure it out. If he sells you, he's not willing to say, the only reason I'm selling you at a 30 seller here is because you took 30 sa'ah. He's not saying that the quantity is what dictates over here. He's saying the price is a price per pound, the price per kilo. It's a price per kilo. If you want to buy as many kilos as you want, I'll give you that price. So that matters. So if you buy 3, or if you buy 30, or you buy 60, the price is all the same. And therefore, the kinyan works as each unit is measured out. On the other hand, when you have a kor, when he says to you, kor b'shloshim sela, he's giving you a bet. Maybe he's saying to you, I'm giving you a special price because you're buying 30. Right? Or I'm only willing to sell you 30 at this price. Either way, he's giving a limit to say that 30 is the amount. No less, no more. If it's no less, no more, then only time you make the kinyan is when you reach 30 sa'ah, when you reach the level of a kor. That's when the kinyan comes in. That's what Rav and Shmuel say. Kor b'shloshim ani morcha yachol lachzor bo, they can back out of the transaction, afilu b'sa'ach or not. Even in the last sa'ah, he's measured at 29, still the kinyan is not final because he hasn't gotten to the point where they've reached what he's supposed to get. He has to make a kinyan on the object. The kinyan on the object means the full object. Here we don't have the full object because it's only 29 out of 30. Then kor b'shloshim sa'ah b'sela, when he gives them the price per kilo, price per, you know, sa'ah, and he mechalek harishon rishon kana. As he measures out each sa'ah, he's konen. Tashma. So the Gemara, we bring our Tosefta again. Right? Our Tosefta. Now it's funny that the Ashram points out over here, the Gemara keeps, the Gemara did it also in the last case where we had the problem of Agbah, where it keeps saying Tashma. Now generally, when you have a brisa, you would say Meitave. Right, so you know what? So it's funny that the Rashbam says that the Gemara gave up saying Meitve already. Why? Since we've brought this Tosefta up so many times and had so many questions from it, the Gemara stopped saying Meitve anymore. Just keep saying Tashma now. It was so much a part of the flow of the Gemara that the Tosefta now is no longer Meitve, just like Tashma. Let's just bring another proof over here. So Tashma, Yimaitami Dasha Lechad Me'en. So if the midah, the measuring or the utensil that they're using to measure the object that they're selling or transacting in, rishon kana, then each one, as it gets filled up, it's konet. V'afa gavdolot mit mel'ah hamidah. You know, you haven't filled it up to the full amount. The case in the Tosefta says that if I have a measuring utensil, and we are using that as the ability to take the kinyan. So for instance, when it's the lokeach's measuring unit, then we said in that case, when you put it in, right, then as he takes it, each one, as you go up, whichever the physical measurements along the way, you're kunyah. So over here, it sounds like he sold them, a full barrel's worth. And here we say along the way, even as the barrel's been filled up, you're kunyah, each unit along the way. So this is, it goes against Rav Shmuel's statement. Rav Shmuel's statement, when you sell a full unit or full amount, then the units in between are not, don't matter. So Gemara says, no, achabai skinan, what's the case in the Tosefta? Go on, darmalei, hin b'shnemasar sleim, lug b'sela. It's a case where he sold them, basically, I said here, 12 sela, right? I'm selling you 12 sela, and that's a lug b'sela. So why? Because a hin has 12 lug in it. A hin has 12 lug in it. So he said, I'm selling you a hin for 12 sela. But not only does he say that, he also says lug basela. I'm also selling you each lug basela. He's giving him the price per unit. Well, what's the problem with that? A hin is a measurement. It's a unit. So now, if I give you the unit of a hin, how do you know that you're getting a sela along the way? I mean, a hin is a fixed amount, and you have some sort of pitcher or some sort of barrel, something that holds a hin in it. Then how do you get to sa'a in between? So Gemara says, in a case, Yidamar Avganesh Natot Ayu Behin. There were markings, or some sort of engravings, or levels. At the lug levels, there were markings. Like a measuring cup today. And a measuring cup, it goes up. You know, there was glass. You can see it. They didn't have glass like that. Measuring cups made out of glass with writing on them. They had a klicher. So how do you indicate along the way these lugim inside of the hin? You have markings inside the barrel that once you reach this level, you hit one lug. Next level, you hit two lug. So there's some sort of indication within the unit of a hin that gave you the smaller units of lugim along the way. So because of that, it's the equivalent of him measuring out lug by lug and not measuring to a full unit of a hin. So that'll be the same answer, basically, the same answer that we had before, which is that when you give a price per unit and you're able to measure it out on a unit basis, then each unit will be a kinyan. I mean, if I say sela, right, I say sab sela, even though I'm selling you 30 kur, each sela, each sa'ah that I give you, that's a kinyan. If I say I'm selling you a hin, but I'm saying you a lug besela, right, again, then that each lug that I measure out, as long as I can show you that I'm measuring out a lug, will be a kinyan. In a case either where I say to you I'm selling you I'm selling you a kur for 30 sela, or I'm selling you a hin for 12 sela, that case, right, for sure, you are only koneh when you filled it up to the full amount of the measurement, because he gave you a unit, a full unit. Or in the case, even in the case where you specify the price per unit, if I can't see the units along the way, you're also not koneh. So even if I say to you hin, if I say hin bis 12 sela, I say to you, I'm selling you a hin for 12 sela, and it's sela per lug. But if I measure out 6 lug inside of a thing, inside of a unit, that only tells me about when I reach the hin, the 12, that's also not a kinyan, because I don't know how much I've been koneh. Right. It's not that, I haven't given you a lug to be koneh. I'm waiting till nitmala. So again, that'll be the difference between these cases. And if that's the case, then it doesn't disagree with Rav and Shmuel, because it's saying exactly the same thing as Rav and Shmuel and the Tosefta. By reading the Tosefta as being this case, then it's actually saying the same thing as Rav and Shmuel. Okay, we'll stop over here.